Is that when you then started your own fence company, when you came back?
When I came back, Marvin gave me a job, and he said, I know this is temporary. You got a wild hair. And I said, yeah. When I came back, I had put my application in with Sears to be their subcontractor for fencing. Back then, Sears built a lot of fence. 6 months later, lo and behold, a guy called me, and he said, my contractor died last night, Mr. Beaver. And he said, you're the best applicant I have here. And so I started contracting for him the next day.
So you were on your own?
Yep, that was the first time.
And so then how did that work out?
Oh, it was great. In Bakersfield, I was making $400 or $500 a week. My first full year W-2 out there was $24,000. And that was in 69. That's a lot of money. When I came back and went to work for Sears, back then, I counted my money by the week. My first full week was $1,500.
What kind of a money handler were you? Did you spend it all? Were you a saver? What did you do with that?
I saved, because when Sears called me, I had $1,300 at home. I lived in Flamingo Trailer Park at Pine and Mingo. Me and a new lady I met as soon as I got back, Linda. Actually, we lived together. She got pregnant. She had trouble. I took her to St. Francis, and she had a miscarriage. St. Francis wanted me to pay the bill. It was $1,300. Seriously. Melvin Breckenridge had already called me from Sears. He said, I need you to start. He told me what I needed. I needed truck, tools, but I needed insurance. And insurance was $500. I bought an old truck and some tools, and I was building fence for Sears in 2 days. And boy, my uncle, at Ace, he was mad. But the first full week, my Sears paycheck, and I got paid every Friday, was $1,500. Now, I owed my helper, which was Linda's brother. I paid him about $110. After cost, I cleared about $1,200.
So then you were a saver.
Yeah, I saved a little bit, but I used to build fence like any construction worker, and I'd go to the bar on Friday night, spend all my money playing pool and drinking beer. But when I went to Bakersfield and I met Sharon, that pretty much stopped. It's the first time I was in love, and only time. And that's when I really started thinking about a home and kids and providing for other people. So, yeah, I started putting some money back then.
That trailer you lived in, didn't that just float away in a storm?
Yeah. June the 8th, 1974, we lived in the northeast corner of Flamingo Trailer Park that had 9 feet of water. Now, my sister and her husband's trailer was a little bit south, about two blocks over. My mom was up spending the night. The National Guard took them out in a boat. And Linda, the boy, ended up being the boy's mother.
So did your trailer actually float away?
No, it was tied down for, tornadoes. But no, it didn't float away, but my car and my fence truck did. They floated against the trailer.
Your fence truck, what happens?
Well, you grew up back in the age I did. You're always working on your cars. The very next day, I drained the engine, transmission, the rear end, flushed it out with kerosene and this and that, changed the filters. By then I had a little bit of cash. It took me a week, but I got my car. I had a 73 Grand Prix. It was a year old, my first new car. But boy, it stunk a few months later. The engine, driveline, transmission, and bearings and stuff. I was a good enough mechanic to do that myself.
What do you remember about Tulsa at large? Radio stations, TV, entertainment, what did you do?
Well, I liked rock and roll back in the day, the 60s and 70s. Rock was the best era ever, in my opinion. A little bit of country. I listened to you. I don't think that was the 60s.
No, 76 is when I came.
Yeah, the 70s and 80s. When I started my business, when I got in my car and went to work, I never had the radio on.
Yeah.
I was thinking about work, what I was going to do.
Right. Linda, and you then eventually you did have a son.
Yeah, when we lost the trailer, I rented a house up by Pine and Sheridan. We lived there, and that's where Eddie was conceived. We got married.
His name is?
His name is Junior. He's a junior.
Okay.
He goes by Edward. I go by Eddie. We lived there about 8 months, And there was an old house there at Pine and Mingo right next to the trailer park, Flamingo Trailer Park, and I rented that from a gentleman, darn, I can't think of his name, Alexander or something, really nice man. He said, I really need to sell it. I said, well, I don't have any credit. He said, well, let me rent it to you for a while. I rented it for about a year, and he came to me. He said, what if I set you up on making payments and you buy it? And I said, sure. I didn't have any credit. And he said, I trust you. And so that was the first property I bought, and the guy carried the note himself. So,
but when you were working for Sears, you had more than one truck eventually.
I did. I bought the second and third truck. I was buying it from D. Wade Ford over here in Skytook. That's another story. He was a good man. Then I bought a couple of used trucks that we wasn't going to be using every day. So I had a fleet of five trucks there for a while, and we had about 15 employees. This was in 73, 74.
And so, again, the name of your fence company was?
When I started my fence company, I called it American Fence.
Okay.
Because I really liked the model that the guy from Phoenix, Arizona had.
Mm-hmm. But let me go back. When you worked for your Uncle Marvin, you worked on the weekends. You were working there at 63rd and Yale, Shell Oil Credit Card Building?
Well, that's when I left my uncle, and I contracted for about 6 months. I didn't make it, and I went back to my uncle. That was right before I got the Sears contract.
Okay.
Yeah, I built that fence around Shell Oil. It was big, heavy industrial fence. It's gone now. That was that big building they built across the street from St. Francis, and it was Shell Oil's credit card center. You know, I guess they needed security. I mean, it's a big fence with barbed wire. They took it down a few years later because it just didn't look.
Yeah.
It didn't fit the neighborhood.
You had a buddy, David Prince, who
Yeah, still a good friend of mine. We grew up together in Shakota. He was the wild one.
Yeah. You worked for Sears. Then you started your own company?
Yeah, I quit Sears in 73 or 4, and I was making some really good money. But I longed for a long time to start my own fence company. I put an ad in the Yellow Pages, because, you know, back then you thought that was it, and then all of a sudden you were a company. I found out that it was a little harder than that.
What did you learn?
Well, I didn't sell jobs right away. You know, I put an ad in the Yellow Pages, and back then everybody went to the Yellow Pages. So I learned to hustle some work. They called me Doorknob Eddie. I'd put together little flowers, and I'd go down to neighborhoods. I would put my little flyer on their doorknob, because you couldn't put it in their mailbox. I'd leave it on houses that didn't have fencing. And I'll be darned, people started calling me. As we grew the company, any time a salesman went to a neighborhood, he had to leave the little flyer on every doorknob on that street that didn't have a fence. That's some of the early marketing experience
right. That
I experienced.
The thing is, you were born a worker bee, weren't you? I mean, nobody told you to do any of this. It was just in you to do it.
Yeah, it's being poor.
Was that part of your drive?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was everything.
You just did not want to be poor again.
No, that's exactly right. And when I left Shakota, you know, $10 in my pocket, every young feller's got dreams. I was going to make sure I had more than that to give to my kids when they would leave home.
Did you buy a place at Lake Keystone?
Yes, I did. That was in 83. I divorced the boy's mother in 83. I still love Sharon, but Linda was a good woman, and she didn't deserve me walking out on her, but I did. And first of all, I worked every day. I wasn't a husband to anybody except my kids. And after we divorced, that's when I really became a father. I'd come get them every Wednesday for dinner, and I had them every weekend. Linda enjoyed those weekends. It wasn't 2 years they moved in with me. So there was only a two-year span when my boys were not with me. But then their mother, Linda, and she's a good gal, she said, if the boy's going to live with you, you need to live in Owosso. So that's when I came back. to Owosso. It was more than 2 years. It was about 5 years.
So that's the reason you're still in Owosso today?
Yeah,
because things worked out for you here.
Yeah. She and I want them to grow up in Owosso schools.
Yeah.
So I moved back here. I've been here since 77.
So the fence company then is going merrily along and growing? And how many employees are you?
American Fence got up to about 22 employees.
What type of fence are you building now?
We were building chain link and wood fencing for residential. But early on, I got into industrial fencing because that eliminated 90% of all fence companies. Most fence companies built residential, which didn't take a lot of education, didn't take a lot of skill, a lot of experience. When I was in Bakersfield, I built all the heavy industrial work. I built miles and miles of fence up and down the aqueduct that comes right through San Joaquin Valley. I did a lot of tennis courts back in the 70s. Tennis was a big sport. One of the first things I did with American Fence, I noticed in the paper they were building a tennis court complex at 61st and Memorial, Shadow Mountain Racquet Club. It told who was doing that, and Saturday morning I gave them a call. And they said, yeah, I was just going to find me a fence company. So I came down and met the guy, and I built all of his fencing from Beaver Creek in Colorado, not Aspen Vale, down Louisiana, because most fence companies didn't want to get up 10, 12 foot tall. So we got into industrial work. I did a bunch of work for Phillips Petroleum for their booster stations. When you send a crew out to a residential yard, this is the 70s, early 80s, you try to clear about 300 or 400 a day after the truck expense and labor, okay? Now, that's not a lot of money, but that was a different time. But I could send a crew up to Osage County for 3 or 4 days and build fence around a couple of booster stations and clear 2,000 a day. Hmm. That's why I moved into that, and I trained all my guys. I take some good, hard-working residential guys, and I teach them how to build heavier industrial fencing.